In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Easter Gospel from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew writes, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is arisen.
This he is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Unprompted, very well done. This proclamation of the angel, the proclamation that Christ has arisen, that the tomb that they expected to find filled with a dead body, as they were prepared with ointments in order to prepare that body for a long rest until the resurrection, finds this announcement filling the tomb. The body fills not the tomb, but the word of God sent by the angels. He is risen. And this is a fact of history that no one can contest. It is a well-attested fact of history. And although the devil would like to avoid this troubling fact, and unbelievers do everything they can to avoid the fact that Christ our Lord said he would die and rise again, and indeed did it, it stands as a fly in their ointment. The one fact that the devil and his followers cannot disprove or dismiss. It is the fact that must make them try to change the subject or run away. Yet when Christ returns, not only will his believers who affirm the resurrection on this day and throughout history welcome him back, but all the unbelievers that have avoided this, what is an unpleasant fact for them, will look upon him whom they have pierced and whom they have denied, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone knew that Christ said he would rise again. The Jews, it is recorded in the gospel, the Jews insisted that a guard be posted at the grave lest the disciples steal his body and claim that he rose. Christ never did anything in secret. He openly said he would rise, and though he told his enemies, and he was true to his word, that his enemies would not see him again until he came in the clouds of judgment, he appeared to his disciples. We heard the appearance this morning. He appeared to the Marys at the grave. He appeared to his disciples in the upper room. Even in grace, he appeared to one of his enemies, a Pharisee named Saul, and converted him and made him one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament because God's grace is so great. And today, their witness, the witness of those who saw the flesh of Jesus Christ, who ate and drank with him, today their witness lives in the church to bring life and salvation to sinners like us, so that we who live in the valley, in the shadow, in the fear of death, need fear it no more, for it is conquered and conquered well by Jesus Christ, our Savior. What did he save us from? An inescapable fate. No one, I hope you believe this, even you young people, no one can escape death. It haunts us down. And it doesn't just come to the old, it often also comes to the young. And we cannot escape death. Perhaps some of you know the name of Harry Houdini. He is arguably the greatest escape artist of modern times. He could escape handcuffs, Prisons in Europe that held everyone else were easy for him to slip through. He was such a good magician and a great escape artist. Before dying, Harry Houdini is reputed to have told his beloved wife that were it possible to escape death, he, Harry Houdini, would certainly do it and return to his beloved wife again. But to the best of my knowledge, along with General Francisco Franco, Houdini is still dead. He has not escaped. Now, Christ is no magician, but neither is he a liar. When he promised his disciples and publicly taught that he would rise again from the dead. But we have to remember that this teaching is a part of a greater teaching. There is something greater than we can say about the rising from the dead, and we must include the other thing, and I've just said it. His resurrection is real because his death was real. Jesus came into the jaws of death that await each and every one of us as sinners. And so his death was not a trick. As the Muslims blasphemously teach that it was not Jesus who died on the cross, but Judas, it is a lie. And Muhammad is a lying preacher when he preaches such things. Because Christ indeed died upon the cross. And that is the truth. It really happened. And Jesus, the Son of God, died a bloody and a painful death. It was not a trick or a deception in what Christ did in dying. And yet in Christ's death, we must find something greater, a wisdom of God that is greater than the wisdom of man. There is a wisdom of God in Christ's death that confronts and exposes the deception of the devil and the sin of fallen flesh. And there is a wisdom in Christ's death that turns the wisdom of the law that condemns us all into foolishness. And it swallows it up into something greater, which is called God's love and God's sacrifice. For as a magician craftily and cleverly misdirects the attention of his audience to slip in something or slip out something so that you, the audience, don't notice it, something is slipped into Christ's death that the devil in his blindness, although it's plainly stated, the devil in his blindness and sinful man in his sin refuse to see. Not because God has not made it plain to them, but because they in their evil refuse to see it. What is it that Christ has slipped into his death? Why, it is God himself. God, who has justly and rightly condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, and you and me, our sin as children of Adam and Eve, this very death and curse to which he consigned all of us because we are sinners. God has stolen into that death in the body and the death of Jesus Christ. And so, as Adam and Eve sought to trick God out of his glory and steal it from him, as they followed the voice of the tempter, do this, and you can steal God's glory. Do this, and you shall be as God. God reverses it. God redeems Adam and Eve and all of their fallen children by taking the place of sinful man. God took on the form of a servant in the flesh of a man so that he appeared like us as a sinner. God took the place of sinners, and we could not live a perfect life, but Jesus did live a perfect life in our place and in our flesh. And God took that place of sinful man as that perfect Lamb of God, his Son, Jesus Christ, took the awful punishment that we should have endured because of our sin. An eternity of punishment, as he says to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as we guilty people are so good at flapping our mouths and asserting our innocence, Jesus, that Lamb of God, closed his mouth and was taken like a lamb to the slaughter of sacrifice there upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And he said in the agony of his death, my God, why hast thou abandoned and forsaken me? And there was no answer given. For God's law and justice had to look upon this innocent man and say, oops, I'm no longer the one who is accusing here. I am the one that's being accused by an innocent man for the death that I am imposing on him. And so God's justice could not answer Jesus' question, why have you forsaken me? And the accusation of the law in those words of Jesus and in the silence that follows are taken away. Now, had Christ unwillingly, as an innocent man, been put to death in this way, it would have been injustice and it would have been contrary to God's dignity. But since God himself has willingly paid this price for us in love, it is not injustice, it is grace. It is the wealth of God poured out in love for us as the richer blood than the sacrifices spilled on Jewish altar. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, gushes out of his wounds and washes away all of God's accusation of justice against every man who has ever lived. For in Christ he bore the sins of the world and saves us all. That's the context of the resurrection. A real death and more than a real death. A greater death than any man has died, for he tasted death for us all. And Christ's resurrection is the proof of his victory, so that we may believe as these Marys coming to the grave may believe. And so that the disciples can hear the news that he is arisen and their faith that had died and fallen asleep with Jesus can be aroused again. And their disappointment in Jesus turn to joy and victory in the victory of Jesus in his resurrection. And as we receive from this empty tomb the blessing of life from God, we do it in the same way as these first witnesses to the resurrection. I'd like to point out the order in the way things happened here. There's a one, and then there's a two, and then there's a three. And this happens with all of them. Number one is that they hear the word. They do not see Christ first. They hear the word of the angels. And this is the power of God unto salvation. This is what the Holy Spirit uses in order to awaken faith with us. Not the sight of Jesus, but the word of proclamation. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation unto all who believe. The word of God that was made flesh in Christ is proclaimed so that sinners may believe. So that the hopeless may have hope, so that sinners may have forgiveness. And this word is not a word that is sitting and vacant and standing resident there. What does the angel say to the women? He says he is arisen. There's the word of proclamation that leads to faith. But then they said the path that they should walk. Go to Galilee, they say, and you will see him there. And yes, there are appearances, subsequent appearances, before that they get to Galilee in little glimpses of Jesus in the resurrection. But there is a path to follow. We also have the footsteps of Jesus in which we follow. What are they? They are his voice. They are his word, the word of his gospel. For he has commanded that his word be taught in all the world. When you hear Christ crucified being preached to you, it is a footstep of Jesus. It is a visible manifestation that the Lord is arisen and that you are walking in his forgiving footsteps. Because every time that gospel is preached, you as a sinner who are loaded with sin. And if you don't feel the load of your sin, you're not a Christian yet. That's what a Christian is, someone that's saved from something real. And your sin is real, or it's not. You're a real sinner or you're denying it. And if you're a real sinner, then the gospel of Christ and Him crucified is the thing that gives you life. And the place where you suck blood from the wounds of Christ. And you are cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's either that for you or it's nothing. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the footprint of Christ. Are you walking in His footprint? He has commanded His people, take, eat, take, drink, my body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If we are lost in the world, these are the breadcrumbs that Jesus has dropped. Are we hungrily grabbing them week by week and day by day in the word of Christ so that we are following Him not to Galilee, but to the place where we will find Him on Judgment Day? And how will we find Him on Judgment Day? If we have followed the Good Shepherd in His footprints, we will come with light hearts. We will come with forgiven souls. We will come knowing that Christ's promises are true to us. And as He has given us His mercy and grace and forgiveness day by day in every footstep along the way in the blessed gospel where He has placed His word, He will not change His mind on that last day. For the Lord that bled for us and blazed the trail for us through this world and through death to resurrection to heaven, He's not a liar, and He's not a magician. He is the miracle worker who makes us His own and brings us who belong in hell into the heights of heaven with Him forever. And on the other hand, if we have ignored His path, if we have known that He is there for us and we've said to Him, I'm too busy for You, Lord. I need to earn money. I need to have friendships. I need to be entertained so my flesh is happy here upon the earth. If we make ourselves strange to Him by being strangers to Him, we can expect nothing but to find Him a stranger to us on that last day. He's a living Lord. He's not a dead Lord. He's one to follow, not to memorialize a couple times a year. He's the one that we're either following or we are ignoring. By the power of God, I want you to know that Christ is not a liar. He loves you. He has died and sacrificed His life for you nobly. He has left you a path to eternal life in the gospel of the church, in the bosom of our mother, the church, where God is our Father. And Christ is our brother. He has done all things for you to save you. May His arms embrace you as the brother. For those who have heard His word and have feared as the Marys feared, because the world is ending and we don't know what it's going to like. And the joy of the resurrection, knowing that our Lord is not dead but living. If we are living in that fear and in that joy of the resurrection, Christ will not disappoint you. You will be with Him forever. Your sins will be forgiven. And on that last day, what your heart has desired, you will see. As every day you said to the Lord, I'd rather be in heaven with You. Take me today or come back to me today. As your heart has yearned for you, for Him, as you set your mind, as St. Paul says, on things above, He will not disappoint you. And for our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep, if you have lost your husband who has died with the mark of faith, if you have lost your father or your mother who have died with the mark of faith, if you have lost a friend or a brother or a sister who has died in the mark of faith, it is a fearful thing to lose a brother, but commend them into the hands of a faithful God. And know that as He has promised you that resurrection, all who die with the mark of faith, confessing their sins, receiving His grace, Jesus will not lie and He won't pull any tricks. He will certainly raise them up and we shall have a joyous reunion. a time where we will walk out of our graves as Jesus did, leaving death and sorrow and pain and sadness behind, and walking forward into a future that is rife with God's love, with His sharing, with His benediction with us forever. May we not get lost in the baubles and the confusion of this world, but may we follow that voice of our Good Shepherd and follow Him all the way to where He leads us, through the valley of sorrow, through the darkness of death, to the glory of resurrection, and to the crown of glory that He shares with all who have lived with Him here in this valley. May God grant that to you, and may you have a blessed and happy Easter in the promises and in the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.